Blog Talk Radio. This is Our Common Ground. Thank you for joining us tonight for Talk That Matters. I'm Janice Graham, and I'll be listening for you, speaking truth to power and ourselves. Our Common Ground.
Good evening and welcome to Our Common Ground, speaking truth to power. My name is Alpho. I am the guest host tonight, and my co-host is none other than Janice Graham of Our Common Ground. Janice is feeling a little under the weather. Janice, how are you this evening? I've noticed, Janice, possibly could there am I missing something here? But you are not on air, Janice. You are not on the call. You're not on the call board. Could it be me? But Janice will be calling in soon. I'm in contact with her. She's having computer problems. But tonight we're talking about the midterms. The midterms are very essential. The midterm elections, the attack of the corporatists, the attack of the Tea Partiers, and even the attack of, I call them over and over again, and I've named them, the Koch whores, the Koch brothers, and I call them the Koch whores because those are the minions that follow this. We're going to eliminate government. Janice, there you are. How are you this afternoon, this evening, Janice?
Good evening to you, Alpha, and good evening to our listening audience. I'm holding my own, Alpha. Thank you so much for stepping in and rocking the mic with some black sense tonight on these midterm elections and all of the nonsense that's going on in our nation.
Well, Janice, how are we going to pull this off if you didn't call?
you can handle it. you got my production notes, right?
Yes, I did. Matter of fact, I just pulled them up, and I was, I'm like, what is this? Am I supposed to go there? You know, Janice, I keep telling you over and over again, you're dealing with a rare form of ignorance here. And you just won't believe me. Well, this evening we are going to speak on the midterms, how important they are, and just exactly what in the hell is going on in this country. You've got people who are up for or running for office that in any other time wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell to get elected. But yet,
well, you're right. But when it comes to white folks, Alpha, you know, and I know, and all of us know, qualifications mean nothing. Qualifications are only required when you're talking about people who are not under the banner of white privilege.
Well, Janice, I was,
and that's really sad because it speaks to the very core of what all of these people are shouting about their democracy. And you know, what they want to return to is they want to return to the America where no one challenged white supremacy. No one protested against it, and no one fought against it. And even a time when even white people of all class, of all culture and background, of all education, simply accepted it as the way it is.
Well, it's amazing to me. It is simply amazing to me what is being accepted as the norm.
Mm-hmm.
You don't talk to the press. You simply get your message out through Fox. The press basically knuckles under and they don't check. I don't understand why the press is not treating these candidates who won't talk to them. Blow them up, excoriate them. If they want to deem you unfair, then tell them to come in and tell their story. You know, this bit about Sharon Angle threatening to sue the station because her interview, she walked into, I guess, I can't call it an ambush because she agreed to do it, but she didn't get the questions that were favorable to her. She wanted to criticize her opponent, Coons, for something, and when the guy hosting the show turned it on her, she got very frustrated and threatened to sue him if he released the tape or the film. And just ridiculous. Just unbelievable.
Well, you know, Alpha, the thing is that what is occurring in this country is that there are people who, I mean, we have always known, it seems to me, that people don't think when they vote, that people don't think beyond the last sentence or the last presentation or the last rally or Fox News show that they saw. And so we end up with ill-informed, uninformed people who are fueled by greed and ignorance. And one group may be ignorant and another group may be greedy. And it's supported by millions of dollars of advertising campaigns that continue to feed into and to provide an infrastructure for that greed and for that and for that ignorance. And so it gets contained. If you'll notice, the states where we're having the crazy people run for office, with the exception of Delaware and West Virginia, it's out in the Midwest where there aren't a lot of people except for Texas and except for New Mexico and except for Arizona. I mean, the crazy people are coming out of every damn pore in this country. And that is because we have corporations and the people who get paid by the corporations who have decided that they want their country back. It's not the woman. I mean, I said to my mother the other day, what would you do with an $11,000 Medicare voucher? That wouldn't even begin to start paying for even her eye treatments, let alone her heart treatments, let alone her visits to a neurologist here and a rheumatologist there. As it is, Medicare doesn't pay for glasses for seniors. I think a lot of people don't understand, don't know that. I never knew that until about a month and a half ago.
Well, Janice, at what we're facing here, these Tuesdays upcoming elections that are staring us in our face, I want to play this feature, this clip. It's about 8 minutes long. And on the back end of this clip, we can talk about it.
Threat to what white people have. They're coming for you. It's a zero-sum game. If they get anything, that means you lose something. A threat to what white people have. They're coming for you. It's
mostly because I think we do not have a civics literacy test before people can vote in this country. People who could not even spell the word vote or say it in English put a committed socialist ideologue in the White House. Name is Barack Hussein Obama.
And should Woolworth lunch counters should have been allowed to stay segregated? Sir, just yes or no?
What I think would happen, what I'm saying is that I don't believe in any discrimination. I don't believe that any private property should discriminate either. And I wouldn't attend, wouldn't support, wouldn't go to. But what you have to answer when you answer this point of view, which is an abstract, obscure conversation from 1964 that you want to bring up, but if you want to answer it, you have to say then that you decide the rules for all restaurants, and then do you decide that you want to allow them to carry weapons into restaurants?
We could have a fight about the Second Amendment, but I think wanting to allow private businesses to discriminate along the basis of race because of property rights is an extreme view.
Tea Party Senate candidate Joe Miller of Alaska, security guards handcuffed and detained a reporter who tried to ask the candidate a question.
I'm not a witch.
What are the foundations of racist church and state?
I feel that the Second Amendment is the right to keep and bear arms for our citizenry. This is not for someone who's in the military. This is not for law enforcement. This is for us. And in fact, when you read the Constitution and the Founding Fathers, they intended this to stop tyranny. This is for us when our government
becomes
tyrannical.
It might be right now.
Well, it's to defend ourselves. Yeah. And, you know, I'm hoping that we're not getting to Second Amendment remedies. I hope the vote will be the cure for the Harry Reid problems.
I don't know that all of you are Latino. Some of you look a little more Asian to me. I don't know that.
So, we do have a lot of wicked ways that we can confess as a church.
We need to phase Medicare and Social Security out.
Where in the Constitution the federal government is even supposed to be involved in our Medicare?
We have become a country entrenched in idolatry, and that idolatry is the dependency upon our government. We're supposed to depend upon God for our protection and our provision and for our daily bread, not for our government.
It's very difficult to justify Social Security. The idea of privatizing and getting out of Medicare and Social Security is not up for grabs.
The congressional race in Northwest Ohio took a surprising turn this weekend when photos emerged showing Republican candidate Rich Lott wearing a Nazi uniform and participating in Nazi reenactments. Yacht is the Tea Party favorite who's challenging incumbent Marcy Kaptur.
Revolution. Roden says revolution first means at the ballot box, but a violent overthrow is an option.
Our nation was founded on violence.
In 2010, you would urge that as an option, though?
The option is on the table. I don't think that we should ever remove anything from the table as it relates to our liberties and our freedoms.
They want to have real, full-time, permanent jobs with a future. That's what they want. And we need to create that climate in Washington, D.C. that encourages businesses to create those full-time, permanent jobs with a future. And all Shelley Berkeley and Harry Reid want to do is put a Band-Aid on this by extending unemployment, which really doesn't benefit anyone.
Except maybe the unemployed.
This is the week in which the three-card Monte dealers hope to take over the government. The candidates who want their own way, who will say anything to make palatable their real identities as agents of regression, repression, and corporate sovereignty. They are here. They have energized the self-serving and the greedy and the proudly ill-informed. And if no other fact convinces you of your obligation to vote and canvass and phone and even drag to the polls the most disheartened moderate or Democrat or liberal or abandoned Republican or political neutral to vote for the most tepid of the non-insane candidates, if no other detail hands you that spark of argument with which to invigorate the apathetic, you need only commit to memory the words of Stephen Broden and Sharon Angle. She can run from reporters, but she cannot run from this quote from January and all the horror and insurrection it implies. Thomas Jefferson said it's good for a country to have a revolution every 20 years. I hope that's not where we're going, but you know, if Congress keeps going the way it is, people are really looking toward those Second Amendment remedies. Sharon Angle, too subtle for you? Second Amendment remedies? Guns instead of elections? Too implicit? Fortunately, to our rescue, to the speeding of the falling of the scales from our eyes, comes the Tea Party and Republican nominee for the 30th Congressional District of Texas, Pastor Stephen Broden. Our nation was founded on violence, he said, on tape. Was armed insurrection, revolution, an option in 2010? The option is on the table. I don't think that we should ever remove anything from the table. However, it is not the first option. Thank you. The attempt to overthrow the government of the United States by violence is not the Tea Party's first option. Next Tuesday is the first option. The words are those of Nedrick Young and Harold Jacob Smith from the screenplay from the movie Inherit the Wind. As the attorney for the man on trial for teaching evolution, Spencer Tracy cuts to the gist. Fanaticism and ignorance is forever busy and needs feeding, and soon, Your Honor, with banners flying and with drums beating, we'll be marching backward, backward through the glorious ages of that 16th century when bigots burned the man who dared bring them enlightenment and intelligence to the human mind. The angered judge replies, I hope counsel does not mean to imply that this court is bigoted. The attorney mutters, well, Your Honor has the right to hope. The judge warns, I have the right to do more than that. The attorney explodes. You have the power to do more than that. And you have the power to do more than that.
This is Janice Graham of Our Common Ground, reminding you, encouraging you, challenging you to go vote on November 2nd. No one holds our dreams of change or our hopes and aspirations of our future. Not a president, not an elected official. It is up to us to proclaim and to challenge our hopes and our dreams, our sense of the change that we need and can believe in, are inside the warrior spirit of us, and one of our weapons is our vote. And you know what? Speaking truth to power is about declaring, yes, we can. Thank you for listening.
Always remember that no matter what obstacles stand in our way, nothing stands in the way of the power of millions of voices calling for change. We have been told we cannot do this by a chorus of sinners. It will only grow louder and more difficult. We've been asked to pause for a reality check. We've been warned against offering the people of this nation false hope.
That was a clip. That was a clip of the insanity and the insanity-filled atmosphere that we have been experiencing, and we can't emphasize, get up off your behind and get to the polls. Go out and vote. Do it. I'll be right back.
It took me about a year to start hating the 9/11 victims' families.
Barack the Magic Negro.
Not only was this funny, if I may say so myself, it was brilliant.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Obama attacks America.
You're going to see every and every other non-citizen out there voting.
I'm not a witch.
We could drill here, drill now.
You can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Hi, I'm Scott Blatt.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Clayfish. Scott Walker's running mate.
Heaven help us. If we fail to pass this, I fear the worst is yet to come.
I'm John Taft. I'm here today to discuss many unintended consequences this legislation might produce.
Hi, and thank you for being with us at Our Common Ground. This is Janice Graham asking you to get out to vote on November 2nd to bring power to our votes in your community by asking your neighbors, your family, and your friends and colleagues to get out to vote November 2nd. We need to speak truth to power and ourselves. We need to turn off the hate, turn off the lies, and only our votes can do that. Better the devil we know than the devil we really know. I'm Janice Graham. Vote on November 2nd.
Christine O'Donnell say, I'm you. I take it personally, because I think back to how our lovemaking was so raw and powerful. It was hard to know where my body ended and hers began. But if I were you, I'd really want her to stop saying she was you. 86% of teabaggers think climate change is a hoax. That's not you. Tea partiers want to repeal the health care law. But two-thirds of Americans either like it or want it to go further. 59% of Americans support gay marriage and civil unions. The Tea Partiers support traditional gender roles where men are in charge, like Glenn Beck, and women are soft and emotionally fragile with spooky mood swings, like Glenn Beck. 6 in 10 Americans think illegal Mexicans should have a path to citizenship and be allowed to stay here. And the other 4 in 10 are illegal Mexicans. Now, I know that you teabaggers at home are already blogging. If Americans are like you, Bill, then how come the Republicans are going to take over the Congress? Well, first of all, thank you for watching. I know there's wrestling on another channel. And second, to answer your question, the Democrats will lose because, A, they don't brag about their achievements, and, B, they never get it that these days you have to sum up your message in one succinct phrase, like, we'll cut your taxes, or here's a photo of my penis. Which brings me to the one succinct phrase that could keep the Democrats in power in 2012. That's, can't talk about their accomplishments while the Republicans actually campaign on their fuck-ups. Last week, President Obama had the frankest town hall meeting I've ever seen, and a woman named Velma Hart took the mic and told the president, I'm exhausted defending you. Well, if you're like Velma and you're tired of making excuses for Obama, just imagine how tired he is of making excuses for you. I know, unemployment is high, but you're the one who's not working, not him. He has a job, and part of it is stopping John Boehner from throwing you off unemployment. Now, I am not here to carry water for this or any administration, but the facts of the coming election are Democrats have real accomplishments to run on, like preventing a depression and forcing insurance companies to cover pre-existing conditions, like stopping the banks from being the useless middlemen on student loans, and lowering taxes for non-rich people. Obama has passed a credit card bill of rights, he restarted stem cell research, got our ass out of Iraq, and signed a nuclear treaty with Russia, not to mention the intangible of having a president who can pronounce nuclear. Why can't the Democrats get props for what they've achieved? Oh, I know, I know. Obama's black. He's used to being denied credit. It's for you. And there's nothing wrong with being hard on him. He is the president. It's our job to keep him honest. But when it comes to voting, when we only have two choices, you got to grow up and realize there's a big difference between a disappointing friend and a deadly enemy. Of course. Of course the Democrats are disappointing. That's what makes them Democrats. If they were any more frustrating, they'd be your relatives. But in this country, they are all that stands between you and darkest night. You know why their symbol is the letter D? Because it's a grade that means good enough, but just barely. You know why the Republican symbol is R? Because it's the noise a pirate makes when he robs you and feeds you to a shark.
Our Common Ground. Blog Talk Radio. I'm Janice Graham.
There you have it. That's about 15 minutes of your option. That's about 15 minutes of what you have to look forward to if you don't get up and go vote. And from that perspective, from that side of it, how is it that things could have gotten off the rails so much? Dennis, I want to thank you for those clips. And I know you do a lot of work and you do a lot of hard work. And I just, you know, I do what I do. I basically sit back and accept it. But I want to thank you for those clips because, that basically sums it up. You know, and between the feature, between listening to the voices, I mean, it's just damn.
Well, you know, Alpha, I think that we have been victimized by the political landscape. When I say we, I mean the black community. We have been victimized by the political landscape because what has happened is that the messaging, that the distortion, that the lies have created an environment where we came into this administration with great anticipation, with great expectations. And our hope and our change has been distorted by the political theater that's being funded by greedy corporations and people of power. I love your term, cook whores. I've been calling them cocksuckers. No, well, I didn't mean to say that. Because K-O-C-H can all... There are some of the Cook brothers.
No, they pronounce actually
they pronounce that cock. That's not cook. When they want to be public, they call it cook, but it's really cock.
Because but they pronounce coke.
And yeah, I mean, well, coke suckers. Coke whores and coke suckers.
Well, that's what they are. They're basically coke whores because, you know, once you begin to look at the Koch brothers and you look at the multiple right-wing think tanks, and then those think tanks have tentacles that they spread. And, I mean, it goes on like a family tree.
But, you know, the point that we have to have, the point that we have to, we have to keep our eye on the prize. And the eye on the prize is this. We cannot allow either the President of the United States or any elected official or any corporation or any cock sucker to define for us what is our hope and our aspirations as a community. We know what our problems are. It will be exacerbated by these maggots who will take over the House, who will not only stop the government, but terminate governing in this country. And that will exacerbate us getting to our own agenda, which we have not yet gotten to. I have seen the Tea Partiers. I have seen Glenn Beck. I have seen even today with the Sanity Rally. But I have not really seen the millions of black people that have a stake in stopping this insanity. We have to go to the polls to so that we can get control. And then we have to get control, and we have to get control by defining our own agenda for this administration. Alpha, okay. I wanted to ask you, did we lose our chat room?
No, because the chat room is up and going well. We have Doc Don. We have guest 3120.
I can't get into the chat room, so I can't see what people are saying. I don't know why that is.
The chat room is up. As a matter of fact, you're right. You're not in the chat room.
Yeah, I'm going to have to log out and come back into the chat room.
But I
think the thing is that, you know, we have been disappointed, and I understand that. But at some point, we've got to begin to decide that as a people, we have survived 400 years on these shores because we understand our destiny. We understand our potential. We understand our purpose. And to give up to the same things that we have battled through and been victorious in so many ways is very sad, and I think we have to think about that.
Well, Janice, leave us face it. When this man was running for president, we had to literally beg African Americans that this man could win, get out and vote. I've heard all kind of excuses. I have a neighbor that I tried to get to the polls when I went Thursday. And the first thing out of his mouth was, I said, come on, let's go vote. He said, hell no, they all crooks anyway. And, you know, I got into a little, you know, long, heated discussion with him, but that's my neighbor and that's what we do. But, I mean, it seems that there are so many who are disconnected. There are so many who are ill, I mean, they simply aren't qualified to hold an intelligent conversation on something that's going to affect them. He's not working, but yet they're all crooks. He don't want to go vote. That type of ignorance that I deal with. And at some point in time, we have to say to ourselves, what the hell is it? Why are people in that head in the sand moment? 347-838-9852. I'll be taking your calls very shortly. So, Janice, that's what I dealt with. I ended up picking up a few elderly people to go and to early vote. And this was just as the polls opened for the last early vote day. And the room was packed, but there was no line. But it had just opened. And I was there for over an hour. So, that is kind of a hopeful sign, but there were barely no youth in the room. Now, I don't know if Ed DeWino had awakened or or how this plays out. But at some point in time, you know, when I see, you know, turnout numbers that I saw in the last election here in Chicago, when I see 12% turning out in Detroit, 11% in Tennessee, 16% turnout in Philadelphia, that troubles me because we still have a culture of African Americans that simply don't get it.
Well, there are people who don't get it because they don't want to get it. There are other people who are so beat down. You know, in 2008, we went into an election where people, even though you had to drag people in, it wasn't until Barack Obama was nominated that people even believed that he had a bit of a chance. There were people who were vested in that election. And because of all of the disappointments, because, you know, the thing is, I mean, let's keep it right out of the, you know, keep the devil out of the hole, or keep the devil in the hole, whatever. You think about, here was a man who was willing to go to bat against the tide of a man who had been like a father to him and made a speech on race before the nation in order to try to attempt to hold on to his possibility of getting the nomination. But then he goes into office and he wants to become race neutral. He can't talk about race with black people and Latino people. He has to keep it quiet, become racially invisible. But at the same time, when he was getting his, he could talk about race. That is what people are looking at. But what my point is tonight until Tuesday is that our destiny is in our hands, not in Barack Obama's hands. I have been saying that over and over and over, in our hands. Let's see if we can get some calls. I don't know what's going on. I have no chat room. I have nothing. I just got the telephone.
And some say that is a good thing. I've got 954. Welcome to Our Common Ground. I'm Alpha. And you're on with Alpha and Janice.
And I respect you.
Good evening, both of y'all. Brother Sensei and Ms. Graham.
Arande, how are you?
Yes. And I just want to share points of observation here concerning the capitalistic myth and this voting myth that we're going through right now. The basic premise of voting right now is to keep certain community, local politicians able to keep their positions, their jobs, basically right now. The myth down when Shirley Chisholm actually announced wanted to run for the presidency all the way up to Jesse Jackson. I voted for the first time in my life, and I was born and raised there. When Jesse Jackson, I was going to go for Shirley Chisholm then, even when she went to go for it. The myth with voting now. And I'm getting annoyed and very angry with black media. They're going to keep beating us over the head with this guilt about getting out here and voting. When this President Barack Obama won, we were taught in New York City public schools that the Electoral College was the primary factor of who became the President of the United States, and the masses would make up the difference if there was a tie. This was taught and ingrained to us in New York City public school. But when we understood it on the local level, councilmen, selectmen, comptrollers and all that kind of stuff, mayors, governors, senators, we understood that. But now the problem is that if we're going to go out and vote, and we've done this, and Janice, you did an excellent thing when you brought up the Million Man March when Minister Farrakhan got black men in this country to take an oath. Well, black people are still taking these oaths and leading with their hearts, making promises with their hearts that their head can't keep, because this voting process has gotten us to the point where if your money's not behind these people, and these white folks, teabaggers or whoever, have come out and said, man, later for this, we're putting the money behind it, and we're going to bogart whoever they want into this. This leads into the myth of capitalism. They got us believing that's something that we really are not. This capitalistic society works, and it works for the 2% that's here and can make it. There's been individuals that have succeeded in this arena of capitalism, but the rest of the masses, the 98%, are nothing but workers, and then they'll cover it up with a term called entrepreneur. We're being suckered and duped. Clinton and Reagan made statements about welfare queens. That did more to ruin and hurt white folks in this country than blacks. But when the word welfare queen was thrown to the mix, it was associated with black folks. Now, all the black media, to some degree, is getting black folks on this guilt collective thing about voting. And even, Janice, you even acknowledge that you believe the Republican Party is going to win this time. And if that's the case, so be it. But, you know, we better start looking at the reality of this and not wishful thinking. Because if you're not going to have any monies behind who you're supporting, I don't care if it's from the mayor to the councilman, it ain't going to happen for us. We're just living in a delusion of grandeur. Go out and vote if you will. I'm not telling nobody not to. I'm not voting because I see where this is going. I'm not having blinders on my eyes, and my head is not in the sand. And we need to start understanding this reality in this country. White folks now understand that, man, damn, these folks did vote, and the president did get over on the common vote, not so much the Electoral College. So now they're pulling rank and file to make sure that this Republican Party get in. And then if they do get in, then they're going to pull the same old hypocritical, backstabbing, fork-tongued crap that, oh, I didn't vote for them. They're going to run that same game, man, that they've been doing. This ain't all white folks. I'm talking about these demons and these liars and these hypocrites that are out here. And they're willing to put a gun in your head and go out and stomp on other people's face. If they're doing this to their own citizens, you think the average black person, man or woman, is thinking about this and they barely got work and can pay their bills?
Well,
no, they're not going to deal with it, but let them go on out there and vote. I'm not going to discourage anybody from doing it.
Well, let me put it like this. You know, at some point in time, you have to have an initiative. You can see what the outcome has been. But if you don't vote, there's nothing you can do about what is to be. And what is to be is simply, if you vote, you can say, at least I tried. If you don't vote, all you can say is I died. Because that's exactly what's going to happen. It's a contribution to the problem. Rondi, I want to thank you for your call. I've got two other callers that just jumped up. Thank you very much, Rondi. Caller 111.
Yeah, how
are
you doing?
You're on the line.
How
Welcome
are you,
to
man?
Our Common Ground with Janice Graham and Alpha.
I just want to say to that gentleman, I understand him being discouraged, but ask yourself this question. If it wasn't important for the this country, if the corporatists could take over this country and your vote didn't make any difference, then why are they trying to put so much money into buying it? Obviously, your vote makes a difference. Obviously, the way the structure is set up, they need to con you into giving them the power so that they can export your jobs, etc. So that man's vote is very important, and it discourages me to hear him say that he's not going to go out and use his vote because he's on to the game. If you're on to the game, then you know the only power that you do have is your vote, because there's a lot of money out there that's going to go against you. But at the same point in time, if you're aware of it and you understand, then you can put your vote against that power. And there's nothing that they can do about that except try to pour more money into it to try to discourage you from either voting or voting for them. Obviously, again, if the vote wasn't important, why would they be pouring so much money into it? And I think you were saying it earlier as well about President Obama. Barack Obama never said this was about him. When he came into power 2 years ago, he didn't say this was about him. He said this was about change. And he said this was about the change of people. And people have to change, and people have to educate, and people have to do it. No one man is going to change the system. There's no one person that's going to do it. We don't live in a dictatorship. This isn't Mussolini making the trains run on time. We live in a democracy, and it's our responsibility as people to change it, to become educated, and to go out there and stop any antagonistic corporate people who are trying to steal our country away from us from doing so. And we're at a critical juncture in doing it. And I understand what that last gentleman was talking about. I understand his frustration. I understand him saying that, you know, he's tired of hearing it pounded down his throat. But at the same point in time, that's your choice, man. That's your power. You were just saying it, Alpha. That's your power. And the power is in the people. And the corporations know it. Again, that's why they're pouring the money in. If they didn't have to pour the money in, why would they? They just go and take what they wanted and go and say, forget you. But they know that they need to con you first. They know that they need to discourage you first, whatever it is. And Republicans win when the vote turnout is light. They like that. They try to discourage you from voting. Say again?
And that's what they're counting on.
Yes, that's what they're counting.
Absolutely right, Tony. You're absolutely right. And, you know, I wish that Aronde would reconsider, you know, even, you know, in the face of what you know, you cannot give up that last bastion of hope, the last thing you have to fight back with. If your vote wasn't important, they wouldn't be fighting so hard to discourage you, frustrate you, and steal your vote from you.
Amen.
Tony, thank you very much. I want to go to thank you very much for your call.
Thanks.
Tony always has a very good point, and he always comes up with very good points. 704. I've got 704 on the board. 704, welcome to Our Common Ground. I'm your guest host, and with Janice Graham riding as co-host with me this evening.
Good evening. My name is Scotty Reed. I live in the state of North Carolina, and I agree with all the points that the last caller made, and I'd like to add a few of my own. The first point
this
I'd like
Scotty
to make
Reed
is...
This is Scotty Reed from Black Talk Network. Hey, Scotty. Good to have you with us tonight.
Good to be with you. Recently, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals out there in Sacramento, California, ruled against inmates getting their right to vote back. When I hear somebody who has the right to vote say that they're not going to use that vote And then I look at all these cases where I see either people who have felony convictions or even in prison right now fighting for the right to vote. That kind of angers me, okay? I do understand the frustration, but again, President Obama and the Democrats in the past 2 years have made great accomplishments. We may not see the immediate results of some of the reform legislation that passed in these 2 years, but we will see them if the Republicans don't get in power and repeal, repeal, repeal. Because that's all they are talking about. They're not talking about anything new. They're not talking about how they're going to create jobs. They're not talking about, you know, solving some of the problems with health care. And, I mean, all they're talking about is the same old things that got us into the mess that we're in right now. And so, I also, people talk about all politics is local. Let me tell you about a judge in North Carolina who is going, hopefully won't be reelected, but who is on the ballot on November the 2nd, who convicted a woman of obstructing a police officer because she was standing on her front porch videotaping the cops as they made a traffic stop right in front of her house in a public street. When I talk about, when I hear people and I see them at these Tea Party rallies talking about tyranny and their rights being taken away and oppression, they don't know what oppression is. They don't know what it is to have boots on their necks. Okay? And when we talk about, yes, the national elections are important. Yes, these federal positions are important, congressmen, senators. Yes, those are important, but what's more important is what's going on right there in your local community. These district court judges, okay, these district attorneys, these mayors, these police chiefs, these sheriffs, okay, we vote for them too. And when we look at America incarcerating more citizens than any other nation on the earth, and we see the increasing privatization of prisons for profit, that ought to wake you up, okay? And so, you know, I hope the man reconsiders and does go to vote, but I think more of us need to be paying attention and keeping up with what's going on right there in our local communities with these local positions. And that's all I have to say, and I'll continue to listen to the program. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Scotty, thank you very much. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Scotty Reed is the founder and executive director of the Black Talk Network Radio. It's the largest independent radio collaborative on the net. And Our Common Ground and TruthWorks Network is a member. So thank you so much, Scotty. I respect you. Hotep Amandla to you. He is absolutely right, Alpho, because you've got to think about on the ballot is more than the federal electoral votes. It's more than the congressional votes. It's your state attorney generals who really determine how justice works in your state. It's your governors. It's your local county and city officials. And those people, you know, for instance, right here in Boston on Thursday, six police officers pinned a 16-year-old boy in a community college to the floor, had his hands behind his back, and they brutally kicked the shit out of him on video. And we have a police commissioner who is questioning what discipline they ought to mete out. That's a local issue. But police brutality against black males in this country is shameful. You know, I just had an in-house tirade this afternoon because I'm sorry, honey. The Kappas of Boston, the alumni chapter, had a leadership conference for black teenagers today, but they have not spoken out once about the gang banging by Boston police officers on the 16-year-old yet. So the hell with them and their leadership conference. We have got to get real, folks. We have got to seize the power. We are a people who have survived because we are special. I'm sorry, Alpha. Before I start coughing and hacking all over the air, I had to get that out.
Well, I got the cursor on your mute button anyway.
Oh, okay. But, you know, the thing is, the thing is that we've got to really look at ourselves. I do not want Barack Obama, who is an African-American, to define or determine my destiny. Because guess what? I'm a black American. My experience is different. Even though he went to Harvard, I went to MIT. But my blackness, my black southernness, my black experience, the experience of my parents, the experience of my grandparents, make me different. You know, I don't know how many of you are fans of The Wire. I'm a big fan of The Wire. And one of my favorite characters was Bodie. Let me give you a quote that has really been on my mind all week of one of the episodes in The Wire, HBO, The Wire, that Bodie said. This was a street corner drug dealer, young boy who dropped out of school in the eighth grade. His line was, "They want me to stand with them, but where the fuck are they when they're supposed to be standing by us? When shit goes bad and is hell to pay, where they at? The game is rigged, man. I feel like them little bitches on the chessboard." That's a line from a movie series. But even still, while Bodie is talking about the head drug dealers, I could say that and I can talk about Congress. But at the same time, I stand in the middle. I stand with my own responsibilities about making sure that this mayor, whose house I can see the lights are still on, understands that as a citizen in this city, he will never get my vote ever again. And I will work to oust his police commissioner that he loves so much if those officers go without being punished. That is my responsibility. My responsibility is to talk to my sorority sister, who is the superintendent of schools in the city of Boston, as much as I can about how we must reform education and who we must be educating and where the focus should be in public schools here. That's my responsibility. Alpha, I think we got to go to break. Scotty and Tony, thank you so much for your calls. I really enjoyed your calls. Alpha, you want to go to break?
Yes.
I want to go to break because I got a cough.
Absolutely, Janice. You're muted, so you go right ahead. I'll return after this break.
You're listening to Our Common Ground, Saturday night open mic with my co-host, Alpha of the Alpha Show. Please check out our other broadcast products at TruthWorks Network. TruthWorks Network is the black university on the air at Blog Talk Radio. We provide the best of ideas, explanations, exploration, scholarship, and speeches, interviews, and audio documentary. TruthWorks Network and Our Common Ground. We know what to do with radio.
When there's a fire, you call 911. If there's suspicious activity outside, you call 911. But when there's domestic violence, very few people call 911. call 911, and that's a crime. Domestic violence is a crime.
Help is available. If you or someone you know is in immediate danger, make the call. Report the crime. Get some help. Call 911 for domestic violence.
You are our mothers. You are our sisters. You are our daughters. AIDS is the leading cause of death for black women ages 25 to 34. But there are things you can do to help.
Prevention is power.
Get educated, get tested, get treated.
Help stop AIDS.
This is Our Common Ground at Blog Talk Radio, speaking truth to power and ourselves.
It took me about a year to start hating the 9/11 victims' families.
Barack the Magic Negro.
Not only was this funny, if I may say so myself, it was brilliant.
Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live!
Obama attacks America.
You're going to see every and every other non-citizen out there voted.
I'm not a witch.
We could drill here, drill now.
You can actually see Russia from land here in Alaska.
They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Hi, I'm Scott Wyatt.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Clayfish, Scott Walker's running mate.
Heaven help us. If we fail to pass this, I fear the worst is yet to come.
I'm John Jones. I'm here today to discuss many unintended consequences this legislation might produce.
Hi, and thank you for being with us at Our Common Ground. This is Janice Graham asking you to get out to vote on November 2nd to bring power to our votes in your community by asking your neighbors, your family, and your friends and colleagues to get out to vote November 2nd. We need to speak truth to power and ourselves. We need to turn off the hate, turn off the lies, and only our votes can do that. Better the devil we know than the devil we really know. I'm Janice Graham. Vote on November 2nd.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Our Common Ground. My name is Alpha. I'm here guest hosting with my co-host, Janice Graham. Janice?
Hey there, Alpha, and thank to everyone who's out in our listening audience.
Well, in our chat room, we have a very spirited group of people. I've got Brother Raphael. Thank you for joining us, Brother Raphael. Doc Don, we have a guest with so many numbers. It's worse than a zip code, worse than a phone number. Looks like a vehicle ID number. House music lover. We've got the India Declare show. India Declare
Queen
of the India
daytime
Declare
independent
show. Mondays
talk.
Through Saturdays, 11 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time. And we have Kay James. We have Lion's Den, Navoxer, and of course, TruthWorks Network. And that would be you, Janice. I'm glad you got back in.
That would
but,
be me.
Janice, when you get right down to what we face, and, you know, this is my biggest fear. I fear that with, you know, the polls, be they right, be they wrong. And I think that the polls themselves are simply another tool for vote suppression. But let's say that the worst-case scenario, well, half of the worst-case scenario comes about and they lose the House. And what we have seen is the out-and-out, the belligerence of, we're not going to compromise on anything. We're going to shut down the government. How, I am very fearful that this president will simply back off, give them what they want, and declare that it's best for the country. He will cave on his values. Because between, he has not shown me that he is willing to just stand toe-to-toe and fight these people. And that is my biggest fear.
Well, you see, the thing is, we can't lend and depend on what somebody else is going to do. Let's talk a little bit about voter suppression, because I'm concerned about that. And in many of the places, voter suppression is going on in where we live. And I think that one of the things that we fail to do is to organize. I'm an organizer at heart, and I think in every community where there is a fear and evidence that there is voter suppression, we need to be organizing people with cell phones, calling the state attorney's office, calling the police, calling the commissioners of police, the sheriff's office, calling the Department of Justice. Department of Justice has a hotline. And we need to let these people know that we are we need to organize first and let these people know that on Tuesday we will be calling on all the forces that we support through our tax dollars to make sure that liberty rings for us. That's the revolution. And even after this, I hope we have learned the lesson. Your scenario is absolutely right. This president, we have allowed them to pin this president in the corner. And if that's where he wants to be, that's where he wants to be. But he has to realize that in that corner, on the other side, behind him, we are there and we are pushing him in another corner if that's what he wants. But we have to organize. We have to be real clear about what our interests are, which we are not. When this president refused to respond to the foreclosures across this country, when this president refused to respond in a positive and effective way in regard to what banks were doing after we bailed them out, we should have been there. He made it very clear, and Tony made this point, and I've been making this point since the day this man was elected, that if we are not by the thousands in front of the White House, we will not get what we need. And that has always been true. But we can't be triumphant if we have not waged a war. We need to make it clear that Bernanke, that the Federal Reserve, that Tim Geithner is no different, as Brother Raphael is pointing out in the chat room, than Alan Greenspan and his band of robbers, robber barons, conducted by Cheney and George Bush and the other Bush and Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan. We have to make it clear that we will wage the war, but we can't wage a war unless we understand what our interests are. And I have been saying, I mean, you've got people out here talking about disbanding the Department of Education, and that's because they don't understand how government works. And my question is, do we understand how government works? But we have we learned the lesson of 2008? And the lesson of 2008 is that our destiny must always remain in our hands. We elected this president. That was our destiny. Now, what is the other parts, components of our destiny? And one of them has to be rescuing our children from failing public schools.
Well, Janice, the...
Now I got a cough.
The entire scenario that we face is a daunting one. You see people who are not engaged. We have an electorate that is not engaged, especially in our community. Even though what we are seeing and what we have is at the bottom of the totem pole. But someone in the middle of the totem pole seems to have more enthusiasm, seem to be, and we would expect them to be, better financed. And they've got motivation to bring down this president. Now, I am one who, I don't agree with everything that this president has done. I would have liked to have had health care and all of those other things be far more applicable to our situation, but he didn't fight for it. Or he thought that maybe that he could settle for this now and get it down the road later. But what he settled for was something so weak that now they are criticizing and running and campaigning against him on it.
Well, you know, Alpha, there are times during the course of the day that I think about that we behave very much like a battered, intimate and domestic violence victims. He says that he won't do it again, that he loves us, and he kisses us and caresses us and promises us that it won't happen again, and then it does. We have got to stop being victims of elected officials. We have got to figure out how to organize and strategize around victimizing them. And we haven't done that. It is real interesting that I don't see any black people standing up and saying to the Democratic National Committee, shame on you for what you did to Representative Meeks in Florida. He was the Democratic nominee, and you frigging abandoned him to a goddamn ex-Republican governor. I don't hear anybody saying that. I don't hear anybody organizing and saying, we will shut these sorry black churches down if they do not begin to serve the people who give them their money in a way that makes the community where they're located healthy and prosperous, rather than the minister becoming prosperous and wealthy. We get played on every damn front, and until we start recognizing that we are a people who survived 300 years of chattel slavery, 150 years of Jim Crow and segregation, and we stand as though we know nothing. We stand as though we know nothing about survival or victory. I had this argument with my mother, and I had to say to my mother, who's a Florida voter, by the way, she's 85 years old. She told me how many years she's never missed an election since the time she could vote, but she's tired. And I said to her, "You're 85 years old, but you can't afford to be tired. You get a Social Security check. You can't afford to be tired."
Because they're looking to somehow cut that They're looking to somehow limit that.
Exactly.
So you're absolutely right. Janice, we've got a caller on the line.
Okay.
You're
in charge.
610. Thank you for joining Our Common Ground. I'm Alpho. You're on with Janice Graham.
I respect you. Thank you for calling.
And you know I respect both of you, too. Brother Brock over here listening.
Brother Brock.
Hotep. I was trying to just listen in because my computer is still acting up. I did try to put your link on, but I have a virus protection on already, and it wouldn't let me run two at the same time, Janice. So
Tomorrow. I'll help you with it.
So until I can get that right, just put me on mute. I mean, in the background, so I can listen on the phone, so I can take notes and stay in school and learn some more. And I'm glad to see everybody, hear that everybody's in the chat room, even though I can't see everybody in the chat room. But I'm just here, just supporting the call, supporting my favorite internet blog family.
Well, thank you, Brother Brock.
I'll do that. Thank you. Thank you for your listenership. Janice, you know, there are people who simply take everything for granted. There are people who simply, well, if it's not at their front door, it doesn't affect them. It seems they somehow want to dismiss it as, you know, they can't get involved.
Well, the thing is that they are involved, and we have to recognize, you know, we are such an injured people. But at the same time, we have so much more potential than most people in this country. I have to remind my Latino friends all the time, and my Caribbean friends, and my Nigerian friends and Ghanaian friends and South African friends, that but for black people in this country, there would not have been a balanced immigration law now. But for black people in this country, Baba Mandela would still be in prison. But for black people in this country, women would still be denied employment, promotional, and professional opportunity. But for black people, we made that happen. So we can fight through this. And the thing to do is that we have to understand that our interests are different from anybody else's in this country, and we have to hold our friends' feet to the fire. Let's talk for a moment about voter suppression and its relationship to the progressive community, which is a very large community that participated in the election of President Barack Obama. I don't hear the progressive community organizing around voter suppression in the black community. I don't listen to my white friends when they tell me what they believe in. I listen to my white friends when they actually believe in something and act on it. So we have to get real about that. We have to hold people accountable on every end. I have to hold everybody in my family accountable for going to vote. I have to hold them accountable for not just sitting around and gossiping about the problems of black people. I have to hold my family accountable for keeping the tradition of my race family from the early 1700s. We all have to do that, Alpha. But we're sitting at the crossroads right now, and if we think it's bad today, you wait until Wednesday if we do nothing.
Well,
these people are not playing. I grew up in the deep South. I know what evil, hateful, racist people are capable of. I spent 3 years in an all-white high school, and I was the only black. I know what hate is. We all do. And just like you just said, I like the way you put it, Alpha. We can sit on our behinds and let it happen. And it will happen. They will have this they will bring him down to his not his knees, our knees.
And then after that, then they want to get angry. Black people will get
yeah,
angry,
you're right. We can't say on one hand that we want to do something about the prison industrial complex, that we want to change what's happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan and bring the troops home. We can't say that we want do not, do tell, whatever, to go away and to have democracy and justice for everybody and do nothing. Because if the House gets taken, which I believe it will, nothing will happen. Y'all might as well get ready to somehow, if you're going to do something about the prisons, Mumia will be executed this year. And then we have always been inventive, creative people, Alpha. We have always figured out, as the old black people used to say, when my great grandmother used to take that handkerchief out of her bosom and that she'd have in her dress and it had her money and it was, you know, like the money was in the handkerchief and the handkerchief was turned up and then she'd have a piece of gum or some candy or something and she'd stick it down in her bosom and sit on her porch. We made a way out of no way. And we better figure out how to do that now. Because more private prisons are being built, getting ready for this. And it's not just in Arizona. It's in Massachusetts. It's in
Maine.
Absolutely.
And with more private prisons being built, that message will not be carried by mainstream media. They will not carry that message, the influx of the prison population after they take the House, after they render this president as and label him and chide him as not being able to get anything done, despite the fact that they have obstructed him every single step of the way. It's not that he could get it done. They have subverted the process. They have usurped the process.
Even with the Democrats in power. You know, and let's not get it twisted. There is about as much difference between a Republican and a Democrat as Tweedly D and Tweedly Dum. But you know what? I'd rather live with the devil I know than the devil that I really know. And that's what you're going to get from Boehner and Pence and Nelson and what's the other man's name? Cantor. That's what you're going to get from, you know, and I know that we get confused. I love it when you talk about Alpha, when you talk about Harry Reid. You know, Harry Reid ought to be retired, but not at the cost of getting a Sharon Angle.
Well, that's my
whole
thing.
That's a big cost.
You know, I mean, Harry Reid is his age going for another 6 years.
I'm not even talking about his age. I'm talking about his ineffectiveness.
Well, of course. I understand.
Look at Jimmy Carter and his age.
But Janice, what I'm saying is, even at his age, should he win, who's the governor of Nevada? And they won't stop. They won't blink. They won't hesitate. to slide a Republican in that seat. If Harry Reid wins, this narcissistic clown will primary John Ensign, because behind his scandal, do you think he has a chance? Do you think that the Republicans will just ignore every, you know, indiscretion he's done? Of course they will. And they'll back him 100% and prop him up as someone to reelect, even though he may be facing indictment. And what's with our Justice Department? Why isn't any of these criminals, even with this mortgage scenario, they want to say mistakes were made. These weren't mistakes by these mortgage companies. This was fraud on the court. This was conspiracy to defraud. This was wire fraud. Those are not mistakes. Those are felonies.
It was a designer white collar crime. You're absolutely right. I'm gonna House Music Lover, can you call the office, please? Doc Don, can you call the office, please? 347-838-9852. Call the office. You're absolutely right. They knew. And they committed these crimes in the same way that anybody who plans a bank robbery, so that they could get some money in a slow, syrupy real estate market. They use crime to jumpstart the market where they made their money. And everybody knew. You know, and the thing is, predatory lending. If we had lawmakers who really wanted to try to draw off the kind of criminal element that has creeped into banking and commerce, they would shut every goddamn one of these, payday lenders down in Florida. Down in Florida, they got one of them damn things on every corner, Alpha. Every corner. If my mayor in the city of Boston wanted to do something about alcoholism and its relationship to employment with black people, they wouldn't issue so many liquor licenses in the black community, one on every corner. If the churches were clear about alcoholism, HIV/AIDS, black suicide, black homophobia, and bullying, they would do something about it. But they don't. And you know why they don't? And you know how they get by? They get by because we allow it. They get by because we allow it. If we had 10,000 people writing to our president every day, making calls about predatory lending in real estate, predatory lending in retail, Elizabeth Warren would have an easy job. But I tell you another thing. Elizabeth Warren is gone if the Republicans take the House on Tuesday. Y'all can kiss her goodbye, and I hope she comes back here so I can talk to her some more about running against Scott Brown for Ted Kennedy's seat.
Well, you're right, because they will defund her agency. And
absolutely.
They will simply defund everything. And this is, you know, Janice, this is my take on it. If you are going to defund health care and repeal it, if you are going to defund the banking reform, as thin as it is, as weak as it is, and now you're going to defund it, damn it, I'll defund this war. You can't have your war funding without all of this being attached to it. You either vote for it or you vote against the war. Defund the war. if you're going to go this far, and that's what where I know this president and this Congress and you know the Senate will not stand. You will not find one Democrat putting a hold on what the House passes. There are 420 bills that the Senate stopped at the doorway, that has died at the Senate doorway, and not one scream of a Democrat or a group of Democrats coming out talking about unpatriotic, un-American.
You know,
I just
also
want one senator to stand and stop everything. If you're going to shut it down, shut it down.
Yep. You know,
shut down Social Security checks. Shut down everything. 773 is on the board. 773, welcome to Our Common Ground. You're on with Alpha and Janice Graham.
Hey, what's up, Alpha, Janice?
House
I was calling to the office.
House music lover, Hotep, my brother. Thank you for calling the office.
I'm not in trouble, am I?
Yeah, you are.
Again? Damn.
Yeah. We're calling you to task here tonight. what's our people saying about what's going on in Meeks in Florida?
You know, what we were talking about earlier with India, I haven't heard a lot of that, to be honest. I still only
talk
to people in Florida, so I don't get probably the whole scope as I would if I was still there, but I'm not hearing the same stuff that we were saying earlier, unfortunately.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
That's not right. That's sad. That's really, really sad because nobody's really calling to task Crist on this. And you know what? Even I was reluctant to do it a couple of few weeks ago because he already had the name. So even though Meeks is a congressman in the state, Crist had the quote-unquote better name. And as soon as he said he was going to jump into it, he just totally clouded the issue. Like I said, even admittedly for me,
is, you're talking about, this is the same thing that Tony was talking about when he called earlier, as a political consultant operating in the state of Florida back in the 80s. Florida has, the Democratic Party has machines, has voter machines, get out to vote machines like you've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
I could go into a community like St. Petersburg, Lee, Live Oak, Lakeland, Tampa,
mm-hmm.
Jacksonville, Pensacola, and in 2 days organize 2,500 get out to vote workers.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to tell me that the Democratic Party, and it's even greater in South Florida, couldn't get that done for me? But you know, the thing is, in the black community, there's one kind of politics, and in the larger community, there's another kind of politics. In the black community, it's payback for the Meek family.
Hmm.
Now, that's one of the realities.
Payback?
Payback.
Okay.
People who still hold grudges
mm-hmm.
against Carrie Meek, still carrying grudges. The
mm-hmm.
other is that the son was not as progressive, aggressive, as some of the activists, black activists in Florida, thought he ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
So you had Meek, Corrine Brown from Jacksonville, and they weren't getting anything done.
Okay.
So they got lost in the mix. And then you have the white privilege activists in the Democratic Party in Florida who could never see themselves not going for someone who they thought was better. And they think of Chris as better.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it just goes on and on and on. And then I'm not seeing any of the Democrats from the black congressional caucus going down there to help him. Where's Maxine Waters? Where's Barbara Lee?
No. I was checking the papers in South Florida every day online.
Yes.
And I never saw any real support from anybody outside the state, really.
Exactly. So it goes to this whole thing that, you know, it goes to the whole piece where President Barack Obama in many ways is being victimized by the same kind of mentality, that somehow black people have to deliver more than even to get their vote, to get your vote, than other people.
Yeah, I could definitely agree with that.
Yeah.
And like Alpha pointed out earlier, now he's coming back and, you know, saying this can hedge on our turnout.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
always been
right.
the case, though. That's always been the case, even before he ran. A lot of it can always depend on black voter turnout.
Yep. Well, and the thing is that you've got the same set of circumstances where the machine decides what black candidate is going to run at the local level.
Definitely. Well, we have that
but,
here.
You know, at some point, somebody's got to jump out. Alpha, you have to. Would you agree with me? At some point, black people have to jump out and jump out of the wood and say "Ungawa."
I don't know if "Ungawa" is the politically correct thing to do in our environment, but you're absolutely right.
Well, the thing is, you know, the thing is, I was watching some movie the other night, and the person was saying, "Oh, I know, Lackawanna Blues." And one part, one character said, one character said to the husband, "Well, those people are gonna think you're crazy." And he said, "The reason they won't come back is because they think I'm crazy." At some point, we've got to get back to a '70s mentality, which says everything is worth it.
I got 405 on the line.
Thank you, House Music Lover, for calling up to the office.
Not a problem.
405, welcome to our common ground. You're on with Alpha and Janice Graham.
Good evening. I guess I accepted it off.
Hotep, my brother, I respect you.
Same here, Janice.
Thanks for calling up to the office.
Yeah, I'm in the office, all right. Just like I was when I was in school. However, what I see is a lack of enthusiasm from the base, the very base that put him over the top when he ran for president. I do not see that type of enthusiasm around the country. And I think that the problems that he has faced have pretty much overwhelmed him. He's had to rely, first of all, he made some strategic errors in bringing all of the Wall Street crowd in with him, which was, in my estimation, a betrayal of the expectations that the American public wanted with respect to a change.
As they say in the Baptist Church, bring it on, Don.
Yes, we have not seen the change that was promised. He had the young people. He had the minority groups, so-called minority groups. He had the independent vote. And we were suffering under the previous administrations, the Bushes, the Cheneys, the elitists, the bankers, who we have given trillions of dollars to with no accountability. And so he inherited a mess, I agree. However, he does not have the background or the legacy of those of us who have been in the battle and on the front lines with respect to obtaining our rightful place in this American society. Therefore, he has played a game of rope-a-dope to where he only punches back when he's given a body blow. And he's lost his enthusiasm. He should have been on the job from day one. If I was the president, I would have called out these Republican obstructionists on each and every occasion. Like Alfo said, let them filibuster, bring the cots, put the light on them as we did, or as we do on everything else. Sarah Palin, all of these other individuals that get the light shed on these. Now we have Nazis running for Congress. Maybe I ought to revamp myself and tell them that I'm a former Dracula and I've reformed my ways and I need to run. But that's the type of mentality that we have out there. The young people that we have raised have no idea of the sacrifices that were made for them to live the type of life that they are living in America. Everything is fast food, so to speak. They have all of the gadgets, all of the games, all of the amenities, and therefore they do not see and have not taken time to learn how this puzzle was put together. We have created a monster that we cannot tear down. And we have allowed the elitists, the very rich, to gain control of this democracy to our detriment. And it's a little bit too little, too late for him to try and energize this base in light of the lack of, oh, I would say, gains that we expected, or the lack of fight and determination to stay the course no matter what. Stay the course. Do not get in and then you act and become just like one of the old boys. And now he finally realizes the situation he's in, and he's calling on those of us to pull this rabbit again out of the hat, and that he needs the vote. So he's putting money, the Democratic National Committee, they're putting money into the black media, into the black community, trying to engender the black support. But I say it's not there in the numbers that we need in order to get victory November 2nd. So therefore, I'm girding my loins and preparing for the worst. I wish I had something more positive to say. I am going to vote. I realize the sacrifices, the deaths, the struggle, the political prisoners, the people who have sacrificed their all in all simply for us to get the right to vote. I am committed to their legacy, to go out and to participate and to educate and change and talk to and put the light of truth on everyone that I can come in contact with in my circle. However, when I look at the overall total picture from afar off, from the mountaintop, and I look down, I just do not see the enthusiasm that we need and the support that we need in this country in order to bring about the meaningful change that is so necessary. And I thank you very much. I'm glad for your program, Our Common Ground. I want you to take care of yourself, Janice. Alpha, appreciate you, buddy. You're always there, man. You're always there to back up, and I appreciate it. We have the airways still to talk over these situations where we can communicate intelligently to get our points across without any animus against one another. So I support you all. I'll be there on the second, and I hope and pray for the best. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Don. Thank you. It's Doc Don. Doc Don, he's a man about reality. He's a man about his research. Very seldom do I have I come across him when he's not speaking truth to power.
You're right. That's the well of wisdom and experience speaking there. But, you know, Alpha, I've been broadcasting since 1982. And we have been talking since 1982. I have talked with the great thought leaders, black leaders of this country. There are very few black thought leaders that I have not ever had an interview or a discussion with. And one of the things that is paramount and consistent across the board with people like Dick Gregory, Oscar Brown Jr., Brother Minister Farrakhan, Bishop George Stallings of the African American Catholic Congregation, Michael Eric Dyson and Mark Anthony Neal and David Icard and Dr. Naeem Akbar and Dr. Francis Crest Welsing and Dr. Joy DeGree. The consistent golden thread that runs through black thought leaders is this, that we have to keep our feet on the ground, that we have to stay with the reality we know, not the reality somebody's selling us. And I know you need to go to break. Thank you all for being with us here tonight. We'll be right back.
It was known as the Republican Party, but that brand was not good after 2006 and Bush and 2008. So they got a new name, like KFC.
The most authentic Tea Party candidate, the most authentic Tea Party Republican in the country is probably the governor of Indiana, Mitch Daniels. Here's a guy who won in the same year that Barack Obama won his state. And here's someone who's actually been making a real difference in the lives of Indianans by not just attacking folks who work in the public sector, but giving them more autonomy and trying to find efficiencies where he can and actually trying to do this in a bipartisan, sensible, sane way.
Which Tea Party does he belong to?
He belongs to the Tea Party that is the just large number of Americans who are frustrated with debt and taxes.
Now you're just taking a guy who's a mainstream Republican who's not crazy, and you're saying he's a Tea Partier.
Wait, he's not crazy, and
he's not a Tea Partier.
For being with us tonight at Our Common Ground, and thanks to Alpho for being our host. Hope you'll join us each Saturday night at Our Common Ground, speaking truth to power and ourselves. Don't forget to leave us feedback. Thanks for being with us.
You are our mothers, you are our sisters, you are our daughters. AIDS is the leading cause of death for black women ages 25 to 34. But there are things you can do to help.
Prevention is power.
Get educated, get tested, get treated.
Help stop AIDS.
Oh, This is Afro. You can catch me on True Works Network on 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Welcome back. Dennis, we've got about 8 minutes left, and I would like to get your thoughts on Wednesday, November 3rd. Regardless of the outcome, we will be facing, either way, whatever the outcome, nothing will change in the discourse of our political environment. They will obstruct. They will do everything they can to bring him down. And what he doesn't seem to understand, or he won't acknowledge, is that you cannot reason with the unreasonable. They are just asshats who, their only goal, Mitch, they're telling you they're not going to compromise. They're telling you they want to make you a one-term president, and yet you still got your hat in your hand, your olive branch in the other, and you're playing the Barney music, and you want them to be your friend. So that's the way I see it.
You know, we have such short memories. First of all, to answer your question, Alpha, I think that on Wednesday morning, people are going to be in such shock, because real vitriol is going to start flooding. All the money that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce has raised has not been used. It will be the setup for the new house. And I think there are a lot of people who will go in shock. But one of the things that I continue to say is that what those people are talking about? They should not be able to define our agenda. What is our agenda? Our agenda is that poor people are getting poorer, that there is a vanishing middle class, that the jobs that the middle class and poor people could get are being offshored, that people are dying from the BP disaster in the Gulf, that black boys are being brutalized by roving gangbangers coming out of police headquarters, that black girls are being nullified, and black women, that we have an illiteracy rate, a push-out rate. I'm not using the term dropout anymore. A push-out rate that is unacceptable. And it is all being handed to us by a shadow government. And what we must do at the local level, at the county level, and at the state level is to push back. That millions of people of goodwill who believe in real democracy ought to be calling for the impeachment of Roberts and Thomas on our Supreme Court. That this president ought to be writing executive orders to right what is wrong. If we do not do that, then we can stay in shock. And we better stay in shock, because the pain will be unbearable. Now, that's Janice Graham talking a lot of malarkey. But it is really not malarkey, because nothing changes. You are right. Nothing changes for us other than, I mean, a good example, Alpha, is the stimulus money. How many of you contacted your state government to find out how the stimulus money was being distributed in your state?
And the governors of these states have held on to and beat down this stimulus money.
Exactly.
So that it doesn't affect their population, so they can run against him, so they can bring him down, so they can convince the electorate that the stimulus money does not work, even after they have sent letters, and those letters are of public record. But
well,
they don't care because they can always count on the Democrats being just the malfeasance of the Democrats is just unbelievable. And you're right, they're, you know, just a different wing of the same bird.
Exactly.
Just the same, different side of the same coin.
Tweedly D or Tweedly
Dump.
This
seems to be what we have here.
And we need to extract ourselves from the brown box. They have put us in a box, and we have got to start thinking and acting outside of the box. We've got to start calling on the things that directly affect us. This president, this Congress is not going to get rid of the Federal Reserve Bank. But at the local level, if we can put pressure on our community banks, move our money into credit unions that serve our community, and not all credit unions do, if we can start putting pressure on our state legislatures to stop the predatory lending, to stop this bullshit about, excuse me, Alpha, to stop this BS about credit scores and employment, because that is yet another Jim Crow effort. We have to see that. So, you know, that's where we are, Alpha. Alpha, I really do want to thank you for kind of saving me. I am under the weather, and I do appreciate all of the people who are listening to us, and we hope to see you back at our common ground every Saturday at 10 p.m. here at Blog Talk Radio.
Well,
it's
got to
be about our destiny.
I want to thank Brother Raphael, Doc Don, House Music Lover, India Declare, K. James, Lions Den, the Voxor, for being in our chat room, and I want to thank all who called.
And
from
Tony.
Brother Brock was listening. I want to thank Tony. I want to thank each and every one of you, from Don to House Music Lover, and everyone who has called. And, you know, Janice, this has been fun, and hopefully we've reached someone with some type of ability, some type of sanity.
Yeah, all I got to say is black power, y'all. Go vote, because somebody died that you could.
Go vote, exactly. Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us here at Our Common Ground on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks to Alpha, our guest host tonight, and all of our calls. We look for you and we'll be listening for you each Saturday night, 10 p.m., here at Our Common Ground. Speaking truth to power and ourselves. Bringing an informed black voice to the public space with talk that matters at Our Common Ground.